from the very beginning, I think I saw a photo from John Dominus, and it was pretty much, this is like the photo of the century to me. And I was just trying to figure out how to do it justice. So I think in the beginning, I started by just making collages of them. Like I just cut out photographs of them, and I was just laying them on different colors, on red, on black, on white. And I was just trying to imagine them in as many spaces that didn't feel real as possible, because I don't think the moment felt real to me. Seeing like two people get up there and put their fists up, and then they all wore pins from protesting. A lot of people don't talk about that, the pins that they wore. So even the Australian winner received a lot of flack when he got back home. He was blackmailed from sporting events, all three of them were. This idea of them giving a piece of their own career, their own freedom, their own livelihood, to send a message to the world, because at the time it was almost like they were just trying to put a silencer over this. Everything was like bubbling over, and they were just like, how can we kind of keep this quiet and not embarrass the U.S. in front of the world? But it's like the U.S. is embarrassing itself in front of the world, you know? And I like to think about the quote that I put like at the top corner, like, the typhoon does not bend to indictment. That's from Ta-Nehisi Coates at the time. So at the time, I was like reading Ta-Nehisi's book, Between the World and Me, and I just was examining these photos and kind of like layering them against these colors until like the day I got up and I was like, I think it's time to draw it. What I wrote about them, just, or their sacrifice, we fight for life, we fight for time, give a piece of yours, I'll give you all of mine. This idea that it's like, we're not asking everybody to solve our problems. We're just asking for you to give a piece. And sometimes that piece could just be your attention. Sometimes that piece is resources. Sometimes that piece is just, like, a lot of times it's just your presence. Knowing that I have somebody who's behind me, who's behind the same cause, you know? Just like I kind of said, like with Betty, it's like, just because I'm not at the protest doesn't mean that I'm not giving it my all where I'm at. I'm just doing it in another way. So it's like everybody has something that they can contribute. And once you find that, it's like, yeah, contribute it. And social media has made that like extremely, it's made it a lot easier too for you to be able to feel like you could protest from where you are and be heard. But there's still other ways. Sometimes it's just educating the people around you. You know, you hear something that doesn't sit right with you, you could dismiss it, or you could clear it up. So that's how you stop things from snowballing. I think it all comes back to being like fed up too, you know? Just, I feel like when you look at these leagues like the NBA and especially the NFL, like these leagues are predominantly African-American, and it's like the moment that we stand up for something that's happening out in the street, it's like they want us to be quiet about it, but you won't get to see us perform at the levels we do on Saturday if we can't make it to the game, if we're not alive to make it to the games, if we can't get the same fair shake as everybody else. And I think a lot of times, I think of Kaepernick giving a piece of his. And he ended up ultimately giving like the rest of his career, his football career, because he could still play and he's still in shape. But now you just know that the owners in the leagues, like, you know that they don't want to give him a fair shot right now, or they'll say, oh, he's a little bit slower, and they'll just put it under another envelope. So, but it's the idea that it caused everybody to open their eyes. It made everybody educate themselves. It forced the league to know, it forced the audience to realize how many few black coaches are in the league, or how many. So it's like, you can't have a league that has like predominantly like 70% of its players that are African Americans and have like 1% of them be a head coach. It's like the idea that these opportunities need to be equal. They need to be coming around to everybody else. And I feel like just that kind of awakening that he did called for a lot of investigations of like the way that people do hiring procedures. And so there's still a lot more work to go. I could think there's probably like maybe 4 black coaches now. So it's like at least it's going up, you know, but that's just the direction it needs to keep going.